Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to Power in the Word. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and as always, it's a blessing to be on the air here at Blog Talk Radio. God is good and worthy to be praised. Amen. I love him. I love him. I love him. We have an exciting program today. Today, we're going to be talking about dealing with hostility. We'll also be doing an update on our gas prices as well as today's proverb and anything else that's on your mind. You know, I have Pastor Anthony with me on Tuesdays. I'm waiting for him to get to the studio, but he is my co-host on Tuesdays, and I'm a blessed woman. I am a blessed woman. So we're going to go ahead and open with prayer, and then we're going to get right into today's program. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you. You're worthy to be praised. There's none like you, and we magnify your name today. Oh, God, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for this time that you have allowed us to come together on Blog Talk Radio, and we lift up all of our concerns to you today, God. We lift up our petitions to you, and we ask, Father God, that you continue to make a way out of what the world says is no way, God. We thank you for provision. We thank you for life. We thank you, Father God, for purpose on today, God. We thank you, Lord, for our right mind, Father God, and a renewed mind. We thank you, Lord, for power to make it through the storm. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, God. So we thank you for healing today, God. Heal everybody under the sound of my voice, God. Heal, deliver, and set free, Father God, those who have ailments in their body, their mind, or their soul, God. In the name of Jesus, we believe that you are able and that all things are possible with you. So we thank you today, and we praise you for this time. We ask that you have your way and let your will be done. We come against every hindering spirit that will stop Pastor Anthony or any guest or any person who wants to listen to this broadcast from hearing what you have to say today and from getting here on today. So, Lord, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, and it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen, amen, and praise God. Hallelujah. 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 God is good. Worthy to be praised. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, thanks for tuning in. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons coming to you from New Creation Christian Ministries in Elizabeth, New Jersey. And people have asked us where our ministry is. Well, our ministry is everywhere that the Lord has us. However, we do have a church. Amen. And our church location is New Creation Christian Ministries, 87 First Street in Elizabeth, New Jersey. And we're great people with great power on purpose. Amen. Making a difference in the world for God. So it's a good place to be if you're in the New Jersey area and you want to come over and see us. Then you can visit us over there in Elizabeth, New Jersey. My website, our website is nccmonline.org. And this Sunday actually is youth service, our youth service, and our young people will be facilitating a great part of the service. It's going to be a blessing to see the Lord use these young people for his glory. Amen. Ages 21 and under, the Lord will be using them mightily in the service on this past Sunday. And the young boy who's bringing the word, he's bringing a homily, is 10 years old, amen, and he has something to say. Don't you know that our young people have something to say? Oh, yes, our young people do have something to say, amen, praise God. So we're going to have our ears inclined to see what God has to say through this young 10-year-old, amen. He came to my husband last week and said, Pastor, have you ever considered having a youth service for the young people? He said, I have a word that the Lord gave me that I want to speak. I want to speak a word. and we have opened up that door of opportunity for him to speak a word. Again, I want to welcome everybody who's streaming and all of those who are in the chat room. God bless you. Our chat room is open. Amen. I'm still waiting for my co-host. Now, I must tell you something about my co-host. He is my husband. Amen. He is my pastor. Amen. He is my sweetheart. Amen. And he is my best friend. He is my confidant. Amen. And he is my soulmate. And he is also working. He is working a full-time job outside of ministry. Now, you know that ministry in itself is a full-time job. So if you're in ministry, you know what I mean. But he's also working a full-time job outside of the ministry. And he has honored us by calling into the program every week on Tuesday because he is now my co-host. Amen. And I love him. I love him. I love him. So if he comes in a little late, it's only because he is fixing his schedule so that he can be free to minister. Amen. And he has arrived. He has arrived. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. My co-host is here. Amen. Hallelujah. My co-host is here. He has arrived. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you, honey. Welcome. Good to see you there.
Amen. It's a pleasure to be here once again.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you with me once again. I miss you. Come on home. Come on, meet me over here. Meet me over here at the studio. I miss you.
I must be about my father's business. Part of that is being a good provider.
Amen. Amen. Well, see, I'm feeling a little mushy because we're going on 20 years, 12 years, 12 years, going on 20, yes.
That's right.
12 years marriage, going on 20 years and yes. More, and more.
So that's good. We do have our anniversary coming up this weekend, as a matter of fact.
Wow, is it this weekend?
Yes, Sunday, yes.
Oh, I thought our anniversary was the 25th.
Yeah, okay.
So, the 20th of July, we are going to be celebrating 12 years of wedded bliss, and we're excited about it. We do a lot of work. We joke around with each other a lot. You know, laughter is good for marriage. So, if you're married, then make sure that you're getting some laughter in. So, Pastor Emily, how's your day going?
Oh, bless. It's a beautiful day here in New Jersey, and having a great day, actually.
Amen. Are you busy?
No, not too bad. With this economy, I don't think, you know, we're all interlocked with each other. So you just look at the economy and what's going on across the board, and businesses are being affected.
Amen. It's a good day to be alive, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And that's the wonderful thing about, you know, being a Christian, being a person of God, knowing that God is our provider, he's our source, and he'll take care of us.
Amen. And it's a good thing to have a job in today's, talking about today's economy, it's a good thing to have a job in today's economy.
Amen. I listen, again, to, a lot of talk radio. I read the newspaper a lot, magazines, and I just try to keep my ear tuned to, you know, the latest news. And I think the statistics are doing an injustice. I just believe a lot more people are going through than we know.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone, I believe that everyone is feeling the pinch. I was exercising earlier today. Yahoo, working out for the Lord so that I can stay fit for my baby and myself, because I need to like what I see when I look in the mirror. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And that's going to be Thursday's topic on Woman to Woman. Do you like what you see when you look in the mirror? But
yes.
I was working out, and I saw our president, President Bush, was on the he did a news report, a special report today. And he was up there talking about the economy.
Yes.
And he believes that our economy is improving, that the economy is improving. And, you know, a lot of people were different with him.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the latest news is the two major, you know, loan institutions as far as mortgages are working now with the U.S. government to try to get some kind of resolve to this housing situation. So they're taking on a lot of these loans and trying to work with people who are in foreclosure or losing their homes or trying to come up with some solutions.
Well, praise the Lord.
That would allow people to at least, you know, keep their houses until good, you know, better days come ahead.
Yeah, well, praise the Lord. And the government is working, bailing these two institutions out because they were going under. So they're actually pouring money in. And I think it's a good thing. I believe it's a good thing because if they go under, then the economy sure is headed for some dire times.
Absolutely. I mean, we need a place to live, all of us.
Yeah, now, but I declare that as long as we seek first, the Bible tells us, I mean, we know that we have to have a practical approach to the spiritual life that we live in Christ, or spiritual approach to the practical life that we live, whatever way you want to look at it, is a win-win situation. But the thing about it is, if you look at it through spiritual eyes, the Lord does tell us in Matthew 6:33 that if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that everything that we need, the roof over our heads, you know, clothing on our backs, food in our stomachs, will be provided for us. So God continues to be our provider even in the times like these.
Amen. I totally agree with that. The Word of God speaks a lot about, like you said, just the practical day in and day out living.
Yes.
God knows, even in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread.
Amen.
Knows that we need a roof over our head. We need shelter. Many of us want to put our kids through college, and we want a comfortable lifestyle. So that's a goal and objective of so many. And
yes.
God will make it happen, as you said, if we make him a priority.
Yes, and he goes on to say, don't worry. And that's what we want to say to you all today. Who are listening, don't worry. Don't worry about tomorrow. So many people, I think, Pastor, are getting caught up in because they're way ahead of themselves. They're all the way into next week or next month or next year, and they're worried, you know, I mean, about tomorrow. And God tells us not to worry about tomorrow because tomorrow comes with enough problems of its own. In other words, as you worry, if you're worrying, you have to realize, just stop and think about this if you're a worrier. Because I have people, we have people who listen who sometimes worry about what's going to happen next. But if you're a worrier, just think about this. Can you change anything by worrying?
Jesus.
You can't change anything. Now, you can be proactive. You can have a thought process about your circumstances. You can go to the Lord in prayer and say, what action steps can I take? And then you can move out by faith and have some action that will help to resolve or help to make your situation better. But sitting around worrying and being scared and being anxious really never amounted to anything much other than a whole bunch of stress that you don't need and that you're not supposed to be walking in, because Jesus came so that you could have life and have that life more abundantly. God does not want you stressed out. God does not want you stressed out. Pastor?
Yeah, I totally agree with that point, and that's why Matthew 6, I mean, the Beatitudes is just so awesome. But in that sixth chapter, according to Matthew, he says, don't worry about tomorrow. And there's so much that comes with that. First of all, as you just said, if we're worrying, surely we can't think clearly our way out of that situation.
Yes.
I mean, God may have given us the solution, may have showed us the resource, even through our prayer and meditation toward him for the answer. And if we go right back to worrying or anxiety or stress, we're not thinking with a clear conscience of God giving us the answer that we need in that moment. It takes away the faith process that we need to please him.
Amen. Amen. So what would you say? What would you say someone should do who's in the middle of having their house foreclosed on and their car has been repossessed and they don't know where they're going to live next month even?
I believe all things work together for the good to those who serve God according to his purpose. And not that, you know, the people who may be listening or those who are, you know, facing a hardship today did not make the right decisions. But sometimes there are cases where we lived above our means
Yeah.
There are cases where we made an unwise purchase. There are cases where we took on more than, you know, what we could handle. And in those instances, we got to learn the lesson that God is showing us.
Yeah.
In the other cases, it says, you know, in Proverbs, commit your plans to the Lord, and they shall surely succeed.
Yes.
So as we plan and plot and strategize, as God gives us vision and revelation, then we really got to really take it to him and pray that he bless it.
Amen.
And then we can move forward from that. But, you know, if a person's right now at the crossroads of, like you said, get ready to be put out, they really got to trust God.
My God.
And just keep going to him. Possibly losing that house is, thank God, you're not losing your life.
My God.
You know,
Amen.
Going into foreclosure, going into bankruptcy, the embarrassment and the shame to your family, your friends, your coworkers. There's just a shame and embarrassment that people take on and they think it's a reflection of them.
Yeah.
Which is not necessarily so.
Right.
This economy, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're a small business owner, there's a chance that, you know, it's going to be a hard season for you. That's
yeah.
no reflection of you as a businesswoman, a man, or person. So
Amen.
There's so many different dynamics to what God does to us and why we first, you know, face certain situations. But I know, I believe the definition for me of wisdom is to learn from our mistakes.
My God. Or to
not
learn from, even not just our mistakes, but...
Not just our mistakes, but... Go ahead.
Our circumstances.
Yes.
You know, what...
Yes.
You're going to go through stuff in life, you know, and I say not just to go through it. Don't just go through the valley of the shadow of death. Don't just go through the tough times. Don't just go through breakups and mishaps, but grow through them, you know.
Amen.
Grow through them. Come out better, as the song says. Come out stronger. Come out wiser. So
Amen.
That it has not been for nothing, because nothing that you go through in life is for nothing. Is
yes.
always a reason behind what you have to go through. And Pastor Anthony, I want to welcome to Be Enlightened, amen, to the program. And also we have guest 256, welcome to the broadcast on today. And you're listening to Pastor Anthony and Pastor Rebecca. To Be Enlightened calls us the dynamic duo. and we receive that. We're the dynamic, we're one of the dynamic duos for the Lord, because God is using many people during these times, and people call us that all the time. Like, I think To Be Enlightened, Sean McDowell, who's a motivational speaker and an author, that's To Be Enlightened, has said that one of us has power, but together that power is magnified. And that's so true. So I'm glad that Pastor Anthony is with me. So together the Lord can use us. Where I miss it, he picks it up and carries it forward. So it's a beautiful thing to work together. So we welcome you to the broadcast and everybody that's streaming. Pastor Anthony, we're talking about today's economy, today's agenda. I think you know, because I asked you last night what we were going to talk about. We were going to talk about dealing with hostility. We were going to talk about gas prices and also today's proverb. Now, honey, do you have today's proverb? I didn't ask you to bring it. I have it. I was just asking in case you wanted to do it.
No, today I do not have it today.
Okay, amen. Praise God. I just wanted to read before I go into today's proverb. I want to make an announcement. For all of you who want books, I want to let you know, if you've been checking your mail and checking it twice and still haven't seen any books, it's because I didn't mail them yet. Forgive me, I have not mailed your books yet. I was waiting to get Sean McDowell's book. I know that you are down, but when are you going to get up? And also, I got very, very busy, so I haven't mailed the books, but your books are coming. Your books are coming, and I will let you know when I mail them out, so you'll know exactly, you know, when to start looking for them again. But they are coming. Also, I want to read something that To Be Enlightened was said, that God tends to gain our attention by allowing circumstances to occur which strip away the veneer of what we value, to force us to lean upon him in lieu of our own understanding. And that is powerful, because God will take away our possession, those idols. Sometimes we can make idols of our possession, and he's talked about that also. He said when people have loved and idolized and worshiped their possessions over God, then he will allow sometimes us to be stripped. And that's America. America really has turned her back on God, and we, America, the people of America, really do idolize possessions, money, prestige, position, and power over God.
Amen. Amen. And all too often we see the materialism of our day, and again we're chasing that thing that was would always be evasive. Once we get to a certain level, we see that that's not enough. And
yes,
it's amazing how, you know, the Bible says greed is never satisfied.
Wow.
And it's one of those things where you'll just keep going and moving and coming up empty. There's a certain void in each and every one of us that only Jesus can fulfill.
Yes, amen. So be encouraged. Look, you're going to come through this alive. Don't give up. Don't quit. Know that God has you, and he will continue to provide. The Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. Continue to trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding, as Proverbs 3, verses 3 through 5 says. Let the Lord direct your steps. He will direct your steps. He will show you what to do and which way to go, even in the middle of these dire circumstances. It's not over until God says it's over. Trust in the Lord. Look, none of that stuff matters. All that matters is your relationship with God, and God will provide. He will provide. It may do. You may find yourself, your pride might have to come down. You may find yourself needing help from people. But God never wants us to be proud anyway, because pride does come before the fall. Amen. So just take those words. It was off the agenda, but we like to flow with the Spirit. And we know that some people out there are concerned about the economy. So we wanted to take a few minutes to talk about the economy. And that includes the gas prices. Pastor Anthony, how about that report that we saw about the people with the gas prices, and how people were, gas station owners were actually ripping people off?
Yeah, I mean, you almost hate to see that, but they're looking at what's going on also, you know, with oil, as far as, you know, that market is concerned. And it looked like they're trying to look out for themselves. And some were doing things that were unlawful, just trying to offset some of the credit card costs that they, you know, incur during some of these transactions. But they
yeah.
were doing it, you know, unlawfully. And you know, your regular consumer, we don't, you know, they don't even know. As we pull up to the gas pumps, we're trying to just get enough fuel in our tanks to do what we need to do. But yet, there's a great report that you saw, and the media has been covering, that we really got to watch what they're posting on these gasoline signs as far as their pricing and the difference between paying with cash and paying with credit cards.
Yes, amen. They're deceiving the consumers, a lot of station owners. There's a 9 cent per gallon surcharge if you use a credit card. That's what it costs the gas station owner to process your credit card purchase of gasoline. So they are only allowed to charge you 9 cents over the price that it would ordinarily cost you if you were paying cash. So what they were doing, a lot of places were posting the cash price. So you would pull into a gas station, it would say $4.05 for gasoline. But when you gave them a credit card to pay for that gasoline, they were actually charging you $4.14, which was 9 cents above what was posted. So now by law, if they have two different prices, one for cash and one for gasoline, they have to post both prices on the board where you go in and you see the price of gasoline posted. So if you see, if you don't see two prices posted, whatever you see posted is what you're supposed to pay, whether you're paying cash or credit card. But if they have two different prices, by law, they have to have both prices posted. So watch your receipt. Another thing that you want to do is make sure that when you fill up, when you get your gasoline, that you tell them whether you're paying cash or credit card that you get a receipt and watch your receipt to see what price you're actually paying. Now, there are gas station owners who didn't want the headache, so what they do is just post a price in between what it would cost them to process your credit card and cash. So they come out as a win-win for you and them. You might get a break. They may get a break. Either way, it doesn't dip into their bottom line. So be very careful when you're pulling into the gas station, amen, that you're not getting ripped off just to get a gallon of gasoline. Did I say that right, Pastor Anthony?
Yes, yes. It's amazing as you were talking, and, you know, you work with the financial industry for so long.
18 years.
Amen. And one of the things, as you were talking, we see this credit card debt that so many Americans are in, and it may be a blessing in disguise that we're forced to use cash now at these pumps, so that it would benefit us. You know, in other words, the credit card is just so convenient to whip it out and make our transactions that way. And now the gas stations are saying it would be better for you to actually use cash. You know, just like we would clip coupons at the supermarket. They're saying if you use cash, you can actually save money to try to offset some of these gas prices that are just crazy.
That's an excellent point. Tear up the credit cards. Look.
Don't say.
Keep one.
Well, tell them if you can tell them what we believe, and
keep
we
one.
Say keep a major credit card, absolutely.
Yeah, keep one. Don't move too fast. Ain't nobody moving too fast to cut up no credit cards.
No,
anyway.
I don't think. Back up, Pastor.
Keep one for emergencies and major purchases, and do not use that credit card on a daily basis. Pay off your credit card by paying whatever your fund money is. Forget about having fun and get out of debt. Take that fund money and put it on top of the minimum payment until that credit card is paid off, and then put the credit card in your wallet and leave it there. Use it for emergencies only, because you're paying a surcharge. That's what To Be Enlightened talks about, paying a premium for blissful ignorance. We're paying a surcharge every time that we use the credit card. And guess what? Credit card companies are not being too fair either, because if you miss a payment, according to the contract that you signed with them, they have the right to go up on your monthly payment. Almost
yes, they
double.
Can. And a lot of people are not aware of that.
Almost double, and you can't afford that in this economy. So that would really stress you out if you had that happen. But if that does happen, credit card companies, most of them do want to work with you if you have been a good customer to them, and they will bring it right back down. If you call them and tell them what happened or tell them that you're going to be late, they will work with you, and they won't increase the amount that you have to pay on a monthly basis. So don't get scared. Don't get scared. Just keep moving forward in faith. Your faith
Amen.
Is going to be the most important thing for you during these times that we're living in. We walk by faith and not by sight.
By sight.
Amen. Hallelujah. To Be Enlightened talks about the fact that OPEC, he says that we were first warned during the oil embargo of 1973 by OPEC to break our addiction to foreign oil. And, you know, it's amazing that you brought that up, because I was looking at an article, a news article. Do you know that the U.S. government has oil? I said it. Oh, yes. And I want to, again, say it again. I read this report that was in, it was in the Bloomberg.com, and it says that the U.S. government, the president said that some opponents of expanded domestic oil drilling and exploration are rethinking their positions amid the rise in gasoline. But what I noticed is that the U.S. government has oil. I'm telling you, there is such a thing as the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve, and that we could easily tap into that reserve to ease the pressure on prices. And this is a proposal that Bush has rejected. Let me tell you, the stockpile, this report says that the stockpile has more than 700 million gallons of oil. That's right. I said 700 million gallons of oil is stockpiled in the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Come on. What is going on, America? What is going on? And we are still selling oil to foreign countries, but we're suffering here. We are still exporting Alaska oil to overseas markets. Can somebody tell me what the heck is going on? What the heck is going on?
This would surely take longer than the remaining part of the show. You get into so many dynamics if we go down this economy line. It's always one person suffering and another person gaining.
Yes.
If you look at it for what it is, trust me, there's an agenda, there's a reason, and there's there's legislation that back up for them preserving this oil for whatever reason. Trust me, they have a reason why they're preserving it and making, you know, your average American suffer at this point.
Exactly, and that's what Sean says. To Be Enlightened talks about the fact that reserve is kept for, and I'm almost laughing at this, that reserve is kept for primary use, for military and government use.
Of course.
And he says that we have been duped to believe that there's an oil shortage, and that's not true. There's no shortage of oil. He talks about a shortage of refined gasoline due to lack of production capability. No new refineries have been built since 1974. And, you know, we really, really have to be aware of what's going on, but we don't have to be afraid. I'm saying it again. We do have to be aware, but we don't have to be afraid, because God, if he could have Moses smoke a rock and get water out of a rock, if he can have a raven feed the prophet Elijah, and if he can have a widow prepare what she thought was her last meal to feed the man of God, if he could take two fish and five loaves and feed 5,000 people, then our God is able to provide for our needs.
Amen. Amen. And I'm thinking about the story of the two fish and five loaves, where Jesus fed the multitude. But if you read that account, right after that, he sends the disciples away to face a storm that they were not, you know, ready to face.
Wow.
And their response to that storm was just as he thought. He thought they would have learned from the miracles of the two fish and five loaves of who he really was in the earth. But God would do that to you and I and all of those who are listening, allow a circumstance or a situation to arise in our lives. And I believe that if we get the lesson from that particular situation or circumstance, we can go on to the next level in God. But if we don't learn what we need to learn from, whether it's this economy or our personal relationships or lives, then God will again take us around that mountain once more, because he loves us too much to put something on us that would destroy us. So he'll well equip us for where we're going. And until we get that equipping, he will, you know, just keep bringing us along and progressing at the level that we choose to.
Amen. Amen. And it all comes back to our faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And that's what Jesus dealt with the disciples about, being of little faith. That's what
he dealt with them many times on that.
Yeah.
But eventually, the way Pentecost fell, and the reason they got so much, you know, fire and power to heal and open up blind eyes, is because eventually all that teaching that he gave his disciples did take root, even though it took probably longer than Jesus expected or wanted.
Wow, and that's our prayer, that the teachings of Jesus would take root in the hearts of the people of God. And To Be Enlightened was saying, yeah, little faith. That's what triggered my thought process on that. I want to welcome Barbara from the Recipe Box. God bless you, Barbara. And also everybody who's streaming and listening to the archive, I want to let you know that our chat room is open, and we're here. I'm here with Pastor Anthony, and we're just talking a little bit, a lot actually, about the economy and oil prices, and we're going to move into our next topic, which is dealing with hostility. You know, I was just trying to buy some ice cream last night. We went to buy some ice cream, and we're going to open up the phone lines also, amen. We went to buy some ice cream, and went to a place that we've never been before in a town right next to our town, and I was met with such hostility while I was making my order, and it got to a point where I said to the lady finally, after, you know, just really trying to be nice to her in the midst of her being hostile, I said, "Well, miss, I'm just trying to buy some ice cream here, you know," and I just, my husband said, "Baby, don't let anything ruin your night, you know, that's just an issue that she's dealing with." But Pastor Amney, I was just trying to get some ice cream.
Amen. I think you handled the situation well. But, as soon as we entered, like you said, the ice cream parlor, it looked like the lady had an edge.
Yeah.
It looked like the entire business that we were going to patronize, it looked like they had an edge. And at that time, we already received the ice cream. It was melting, you know, very quickly. So we just wanted to make that transaction, get our ice cream, and move on. But
yeah.
You're absolutely right. That was totally uncalled for. You know, you as a customer was totally mistreated. And for our 10-year-old daughter to see that unfold before her eyes, and then she questions us later about it, it's just an unfortunate incident that happened where we were out trying to just have a nice outing.
Yeah, and the thing about it wasn't aggressive hostility. You know, sometimes we'll deal with hostility and it won't be aggressive, but it's subtle and subdued. You know, where you know somebody doesn't like you just because they don't like you, no reason at all. It might be the color of your skin. It might be the way that you wear your hair. It might be the way that you walk or talk. In most cases, it is spiritual because of the power of the Holy Ghost. Evil against good. The devil hates anybody that has anything to do with good and God. And I believe that was an underlying current, that you had good in the midst of evil. Because even the lady, there was a lady standing in the back of the ice cream parlor with her arms crossed, and she was glaring at us the whole time like we were getting ready to rip off the ice cream parlor or something. It was not a pleasant experience, but it was a learning experience that you're sometimes going to find yourself faced with hostility and you haven't done anything. And those prices were high. Here we were, Gordon, we're talking again about the, Sean, passive aggressive. Here we are talking again about the economy. I wanted an upside down banana split that was in a banana split in a cup with wet walnuts and bananas and cherry on top. And that was $6.75. And I was not going to buy that, so I created my own concoction. But I was asking the lady about the prices because for anything extra topping, if you wanted whipped cream, it was 50 cents. A cherry was 50 cents. And I was just asking her so I could figure out what cost it was going to cost me to get my ice cream. I thought I had a right to know. And she just resented me asking her, I believe, about what it was going to cost. I don't know. I don't know, Pastor Anthony.
Well, the prices were extreme, and she did take offense to you inquiring about the prices because, again, it was not like it was a crowded night.
Wow.
It did strike up the reason for this topic today of dealing with hostility or dealing with offenses, because we realize we're not the only ones. Some people in their workplace, for whatever reason, there are reasons that would arise in our lives that would have us, you know, opposite someone who's just not treating us right.
Yeah, so what do we do? And before you answer that, Pastor Amney, Sean is asking us, I'm going to get you. I don't remember that movie. That's a movie, I'm going to get you? I don't remember. He's talking about Chris Rock and I'm going to get you. But he's asking... Oh, I'm going to get you, sucker. Yeah, I saw that. How much for one rib? Yeah. How much is one rib? I know. Well, how much is one cherry? It was 50 cents for a cherry, Sean. 50 cents for a cherry. Can you believe that? Yeah, and that was a funny movie back in the 80s. You went way back, Sean. You but I don't know what their background was. Were they Italian or Arab? I don't know. Pastor, do you know? I think they were German. Were they German? Were they?
Yeah, not from the United States. You know, not from this country, I don't think. But, again, it looked like a family-ran business. But it was just one of those things where it could be any situation. You know, and we can speculate, we can try to, you know, figure out why, but it could be anything, as you just said, that arises and strikes up an anger of someone just disliking you for whatever reason.
Yeah, so
how do we deal with that? Yeah, exactly. That's what we want to get to in these last minutes of the broadcast. How do we deal with hostility or anger or an offense? You know, because the Bible says put away all wrath, all bitterness, all anger. And Jesus, you know, told his disciples and told those who were listening that we must forgive in order to receive the blessings that we want God to give us and work through us in.
And you know,
so
that's what I did.
So we really
got to
keep a pure heart.
A pure heart. You know, that's what I did right away, Pastor. I forgave that lady. I don't know why she didn't like me. You know, maybe because I'm beautiful. And the Lord, amen, don't hate me because I'm beautiful. It's
amen.
His glory. It's his glory shining through. But she was beautiful, too, in my eyes, because I believe that all humanity is beautiful. God created us, and he created us beautiful. Amen. But but whatever the reason that she didn't like me, I was not going to let that mess up my spirit. You
amen.
Know, you cannot let people get down on the inside of you. I was reading a book yesterday that said when you hold unforgiveness in your heart against people, you're creating a bond with that person. And imagine creating a bond with somebody that you don't even halfway like, but you love because you've been called to love them. You know, imagine that, creating a that's what I call an unhealthy soul tie. You create an unhealthy soul tie with that person because now that person has done you wrong, that person has treated you badly, and all you can do now is think about that person and how horribly they've treated you. So you've created an obsession over this person, whether it be a boss or somebody that you work with, a coworker, or somebody that's doing a service or a disservice to you. Now you're consumed with that person, and all you can think about is how badly they treat you. Guess what? They now have power over your life.
And that reality faced so many. Just the very name of some people that, you know, maybe that person doesn't like, just the very name of them, strikes up a chord in people. And, you know, even some people who thinking they've forgiven or forgot or moved past or moved beyond, sometimes we really got to do a soul check and say, have we really forgiven? Have we really moved on? Have we really let bygones be bygones? Because, again, God can't operate any other way unless we really, truly have repented and forgiven people, sometimes who have just totally wronged us for no reason.
Yeah, or treating us badly. Imagine going to a job every day where your boss is just constantly on your case, and for no reason. You're doing the best job that you can, but because of who you stand for and the fact that you might not compromise your integrity, you're not liked, and they would like to see you leave so that they could put somebody there that could do the job the way that they want it done, which is with a lack of integrity. You just stand. Know that you're not fighting against flesh and blood. What do? When somebody hates you and is hostile towards you for no reason, you pray and ask God to give you the strength not to curse them out. You pray and ask God to keep you in right standing with him, to lead you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake, because you don't want to be out there acting like a moron and cursing people out, acting like you're not a Christian just because somebody pushed your wrong button. So you pray and ask God to help you to keep your holiness. You pray. And you forgive, ask God to help you to forgive them, and ask God to forgive them. You forgive. You come to the realization that it's not about you. It's really not about you. It's a war between God and the devil, and we already know that God wins. We already know the ending of that story. And what else, Pastor?
I mean, I preached this yesterday about staying connected. And
yes.
This is why, you know, if anyone is a regular listener to this broadcast, you know, you and I emphasize church attendance. And it's not the religious fanatical type thing, but we know that, again, as you're talking, these situations arise. But when you get a word deep down in your soul, you know, you get a, you know, just a sermon, a word of God, you get fellowship, you get to reading the scripture into your ear gate. This all equips you for day in and day out life. And
yeah.
Sometimes when that word is in you, this is why the word won't come back void. Sometimes when you're empty, guess what? You will act out in the flesh, or you will act out in your natural carnal mind. And some of us back in the day before we were saved did have a temper.
Yeah.
And we weren't the ones for somebody to just pop off and snap off at us. But when the word of God is in you, you respond and you react differently, or at least you're supposed to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the scripture says, your word have I hidden in my heart so that I might not sin against you. You know, and that's good, Pastor. So you go to church. You go to church on a regular basis and get
that word
in you.
You got to. Not even read your own Bibles outside of church, but church is a very important part of your week, every week.
And make sure it's a word church where they're teaching you lifestyles according to the word of God. You're not just being a churchgoer, but a disciple of Christ. You want to be a disciple. I want to be a disciple of Christ. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't just want to go to church to go to church. And that should be your attitude. I mean, no, I shouldn't say it should be your attitude. I pray that that's your attitude, that you want to be a disciple of Christ. Amen. That you love him so much that you want to obey his will and his way. Pastor, you want to open up the phone lines?
Yes, let's do that. Yes, the remaining time we have for the show, absolutely.
Amen. We have 13 minutes, and the phone lines are open. Area code 646-652-4832. 646-652-4832. And we've talked about a mishmash of topics today, the economy and gas prices. If you just tuned in, we want to invite you to listen to the archives, because we believe that the Lord has spoken pertaining to our situation with the economy today, and also what to do when people are hostile towards you for no reason. Always go for the peace of the Lord. Always go for the peace of the Lord in the middle of any situation. And also, the archive can be listened to. You can listen to it at blogtalkradio.com/power. So tell somebody to come and listen. If they need, you know, somebody who's discouraged and they need to be encouraged, tell them to come and listen to this broadcast that we did on today. Amen? Amen. So the phone lines are open, 646-652-4832. Pastor, I have today's proverb.
Amen.
I have today's proverb. We believe that a proverb a day keeps the devil away. I think we just created something. A proverb a day keeps the devil away, keeps the devil out of your heart, and keeps the devil from having victory in your life. Today is the 15th, and it's amazing that Proverbs 15:1 says that a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. My God. And that just goes right in line with what we were talking about today. I could have gone off on that lady. I have not always been nice. But thank God that I'm blood washed, blood bought, and just continually seeking after his will over my will, that I want to bring honor to the family name, to the name of Jesus Christ. So I didn't go out of character, and that's what we're saying today. Just because somebody's screaming off on you, somebody's treating you badly, somebody stole your idea, somebody doesn't appreciate you, whatever it is that you're going through does not mean that you have to act outside of God's character, which is over your life. Go ahead, Pastor.
No, it's one of those things where, you know, and that's why the Bible – it's one thing for your enemy, you know, to come at you. You kind of know, and that strikes up sometimes hostility in us. But imagine if it's someone you entrusted. Imagine if it's that person that you confided in or that one you believed in. And that's where the word betrayal comes. And sometimes, you know, the Bible says we got to just guard our hearts at all times. And the devil is a great deceiver. He's trying to get us off track, trying to get us, like you said, out of our spiritual character, and trying to get us to act in a way that would bring us shame and, like you said, bring our father shame.
Wow.
But again, stay on your guard, stay on your P's and Q's, because the devil is a great deceiver.
Yeah.
You know, some of us pride ourselves on patience and pride ourselves on long suffering. Those are the ones he's coming after.
Wow.
Those are the ones he's going to keep trying to challenge you just to see how patient and how long suffering you are.
Wow.
And it's just an awesome thing. That's why we walk by faith. You said it earlier in the show, and we don't walk by sight.
Wow.
Because our willpower is not that great. We got to trust God in every aspect of life.
Amen.
And that's why you need the Holy Spirit. I teach it's in you, it's with you, and it's upon you.
Yes, he is. Amen.
It is
Hallelujah.
In us, it's with us, and it is upon us, and
Amen.
We need all that.
Amen. Amen. And I so agree with that. And we have to trust God. We have to trust God and have the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Develop that fruit in your life, and
Amen.
Then you won't be tossed to and fro by every wave of life. You know, you're going to meet a lot of people who just can't stand you, and we're going to have to learn how to deal with that. And the best way to deal with that is to kill them with kindness.
To heap
burning coals upon their head. Amen.
That's what the Bible says. That's right. Overcome.
Amen.
Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good.
Amen. And I want to welcome guest 282 back to the program. It looks like guest 282 got kicked out. I'm glad to see that you can chat, because it was a time when guests could not chat. Barbara from the Recipe Box has posted a link in the website, www.efuel100.com. And that is a new type of fuel that we can get. I recommend that you go over there and read up on it. I haven't read up on it, but it's a microfueler, which helps us to gain control over the fuel, gate prices, the high prices of fuel these days, high prices at the pump. I don't know all of the specifics, but we'll talk about that on another program. Go over there to www.efuel100.com and take a look at that, because we do want to give you that information. If there's something that we can do in the natural, then we want to definitely do it. You can make your own ethanol. Wow. Wow. Yeah, that's something you want to look at then, because you can create ethanol to run your car. So God has always witty inventions. The Lord says that he would give us witty inventions. So we only have 7 minutes. If anybody wants to call in, you can call in. I see quite a few Blog Talk Radio hosts in the room right now, and I want you all to post your links for your shows, for your broadcast that you do, so that we can know, people can know where to find you. And Marriage Talk, good to see you. Amen. Good to see you there. That's Minister Amelia Cole. God bless you, women of God. I got your message this morning. It was so good to hear from you and to know that you're thinking of me and praying for me. Amen. I do need that. God put me on your heart. Thank you for your prayers. Amen. And also, again, To Be Enlightened is in the room. And he has two programs here, two broadcasts here, hanging out at the Lighthouse. And he has another one where he does a monologue. And he's also an author of a great book. I know that you are down, but when are you going to get up? Again, I have Barbara with us from the Recipe Box, and go ahead and put your URLs in the room so that the others can visit you. Barbara from the Recipe Box, she's an author too, A Day with the Animals, A Day with the Animals, and I believe her website is adaywiththeanimals.com, where you can go over. She's written a book for children that's available at Amazon and Lulu and one more book retailer. So we have a great resource of gifts and talents, and I'm so glad they're being utilized, Pastor Anthony.
Yeah, I one thing I want you to do before we close out the show is that you and I recognize, you know, yes, sometimes we fall behind in your bills and you know, delinquencies take place, but I've never seen it like today's world where they're calling you before the bill is even due.
Oh, yeah.
And what is your suggestion on people who's calling your house, harassing you for payment? Is it communication? Is it being firm but not disrespectful? Maybe you can give our listeners some sound advice on how you can really, you know, be firm about them calling and respecting your home, but yet taking care of our business of communicating the right way so that these collectors can kind of lay off just a bit. Because that's another thing that creates hostility and anger. Sometimes that can be avoidable.
Yeah, and bill collectors will call you and tell you off. You know,
yeah, they are very unnice or not
nice.
Yeah,
belligerent. I've had a bill collector call me out of my name, and it was for something I didn't even buy. Somebody had stolen my identity and bought some stuff off of my name, and he called me all kinds of liars and thief. He called me a thief. He said, "Lady, what did you do with the stuff?" And I never got the stuff. So I had to write a letter. If someone is harassing you, that's against the law. So you can write a letter and complain, write it to headquarters of that company and complain about them harassing you. Another thing that you can do to be proactive is to call them before they call you. If you know you're going to be late, a kind answer turns away wrath. You can call
Amen.
Them and very nicely explain to them that you do want to pay them. You have all intentions of paying, but you are going to be late, and let them know when they can expect the payment. If they get to you first when they call, then tell them that you're going to make the payment and be nice about it. And they may want to know when and what account you're going to use. If you feel like giving them that information, you can, but you don't really have to. Pay off those bills as soon as you can. Take a little bit extra spending money and apply it to your highest bill every single month until that bill is paid off. Once that bill is paid off, take the money from that bill with the extra and apply it to the next highest bill. And keep doing this until all of your bills are paid. But, yes, communication is key, Pastor Anthony, when you're dealing with creditors. And if you want to prevent hostility, it's a good thing to communicate.
Amen. I just pray that the people were blessed by this program, because it did take on, a nature of its own. But we really do have to dialogue and talk about this economy, which we're all being impacted by to some degree.
Wow. Did I tell you I love you today?
Yes,
I love you.
I think I recall that, but I can hear it once again.
I do love you, baby. You're the man.
You're the man.
My husband did a wedding on Saturday. He said, told the bride to make sure that she tells her husband, the marriage talk, I know you appreciate this, to make sure that she tells her husband that he's the man on a regular basis. You're the man, baby. And I know that's not a proper English, but it sounds better when you say, you're the man.
I thank God, that was a wonderful opportunity to officiate that wedding, and I know that couple is blessed. But I jokingly joke with them about that. They're a young couple, and I was just, simply saying, just stroke his ego just a little bit, puff him up just a little bit, because sometimes as men, we do need that. We need the women of our lives, the ones who love us, to speak those words. We can think we're Superman once they tell us that we are. So it was just a good opportunity and a wonderful ceremony.
That's right. And I'm not crazy. We have women coming to you all of the time talking about how great you preach the sermon, how much they enjoyed the word. I'm not going to let all them women compliment my husband, and I don't keep him puffed up and built up at home. Hallelujah. 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 I love you, honey.
I love you, too.
Amen. Okay, thank you so much for being with us on today with 1 minute remaining. We are on our way off the air. We're on our way. Minister Amelia says, come on, Pastor Rebecca, come on. That's right. I'm going to be the first to tell my man how great he is and how wonderful he is. I'll declare for the public to hear. Amen. I have the best husband in the whole wide world. Amen. You are the man, Pastor Anthony. And laughter is good. It's a good thing. Amen. So we want to invite you. We're here every Tuesday. Pastor Anthony and I are here every Tuesday. Tomorrow I'll be playing a sermon at 12 o'clock noon on new creation on our other program, Pastor Anthony preached on Sunday. Stay connected, and you'll be hearing that tomorrow at 12 o'clock. Stay connected. Make sure that you tune in, blogtalkradio.com/Bible Talk. And then on Thursday, Woman to Woman, do you like what you see when you look in the mirror? Amen. So we pray God's blessings upon you. We pray that you will prosper and be in good health, even as your souls prosper. We pray that you can stand up and have peace, even in the midst of hostility. And we pray that you will not worry, but commit your cares to God, because he cares about you. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord. And that's it for today's program. Remember to make the most out of every single opportunity. And remember, my brother, remember, my sister, that God loves you, and so do we, here at Power in the Word. Peace.